This is CX of M Radio, the voice of customer experience professionals.
LinkedIn presents.
Welcome to another episode of Press One for Nick. Your host, Nick Limsdahl, is the Director of Contact Center Solutions at VDS. Through conversations with customer service and customer experience leaders, Nick and his guests exchange insightful stories, best practices, and invaluable lessons they have learned along the way.
We are live. Welcome.
Thank you.
Michael Lee Sherwood, he is the Chief Innovation Officer at the City of Vegas. Looking forward to this conversation. We are at Customer Contact Center Week in Vegas here, and the man who's putting all of this and making this happen for the City of Vegas with innovation is Michael Lee Sherwood. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Nick. It's great to be here. It's exciting to be here, and it's great to see a lot of people, faces back. I mean, we're still getting through that pandemic thing, but it's looking better and better, and it's just great to see the energy.
It's awesome, and I've been here since Tuesday afternoon. It's been such a great experience, and it's a vibrant group, not just with Customer Contact Week, but also just the community in general.
Well, the whole city's energized. We just won the Stanley Cup. I mean, come on, the Golden Knights. Who would have thought a community in the desert?
In 6 years. The
in
owner
6 years,
says,
yes.
I'm going to be in playoffs in three, and I'm going to win the Stanley Cup in
Boom.
Six.
And it happens.
That's amazing.
Only in Vegas.
That's
Only
amazing.
In Vegas do dreams come true like that.
It's amazing. So you have a talk here shortly. What's the talk about?
Innovation of all things. Who would have thought? Who would have thought about that? So no, it's a little bit about innovation, some of the secrets and tricks and tips I've learned, and a lot of the pitfalls I've gone through with innovation. Everybody thinks innovation, they see the end product and think, wow, that's great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of torture and a lot of of blood, sweat, and tears that go into that. And you learn a lot as you go forward.
Yeah. So take a step back. What the heck does innovation mean to you?
Innovation to me is about change. It's change. At the end of it, it's change. I think we put so much energy into trying to define it and come up with what it means. A lot of times, you just got to start, though. People talk about it and never start.
Why is that?
I think it's just human nature, afraid, or they start it. It's like New Year's resolution. Mm. I'm going to change. I've been fighting a New Year's resolution for probably about 15, 20 years now.
Yeah.
As you can tell, it's not going very well. I'm good the first few weeks, and I think, change is hard. You got to be in it for the long term. Mm-hmm. You got to understand the goals and the vision and really have a belief in it. And I think once you have that belief, once you set your mind to something as a team or as an individual, you're able to make that connection forward.
So you make a change make a decision at the very top, and you understand that you want to drive this thing forward because of the goals and objectives that you have in hand. How do you make that change a success? Because some people have this big digital transformation is a big one, right?
Yes.
And the success of any project is predicated on that timeline and what you're going to do and who's going to do what. And so how are you making sure that change is a success?
There's a couple things I've learned over my time frame. So number one, change can't always come from the top. Sometimes you got to involve the community. You got to involve the people around you. They got to believe. If people don't believe in something, it's very hard to move things forward. So, I think a lot of it's education, collaboration. I was always big in, here's the idea, everybody, let's go. And I'd be running, I'd be 50 miles ahead. Everybody's still back at the starting line. And I'm like, what's wrong? Because they didn't understand the concepts. And a lot of times people will get behind someone if they feel the passion, they understand the why.
Yeah.
I understand why we're doing this. I may not agree, but I understand why, so therefore I'm gonna get behind it and go forward. In my mind, most people are good and want to do great in their jobs. And so it's a matter of those leaders, those people that are helping be supportive to get behind it.
Yeah, the one thing that you mentioned right before we jumped on was there's a lot of leaders in this in the world that could have had a more successful future and got more done if they had actually been more collaborative and had that team behind them instead of just saying, I'm 50 miles ahead, I'm charging full bore, and it's me.
Yes, and that's something that I've had to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
I have a lot of passion, little energy. I don't know if you can tell. Sometimes it ramps up high, but little energy. And people sometimes are intimidated by that, though. Gosh, why is this guy so passionate? What's going on? And you could lose people quickly. Mm-hmm. And so the real key is just really spending time with people, having conversations, explaining the benefits, explaining the needs. explaining the goals. A lot of times people just don't understand the goal. What's the end goal supposed to be? And when you do that, you know, I think a lot of leaders, and I've read a lot of books and looked at a lot of leaders, I'm not perfect by any means, but I've seen that some of the most successful leaders have that mentality where their whole team is behind them. And they're not just, it's not the leader carrying the message, it's everybody's carrying the message. Yeah. And that's powerful.
Yeah.
So one of the things that is big talk right now at CCW Vegas is generative AI, or obviously ChatGPT. How are you guys using and thinking about that when it comes to innovation with AI specifically?
You know, there's so many. It's a wide open. I could sit here for the next 2 days probably with you and go over all the ideas I have in my head. But we're going to start, you know, there's a couple of key areas that we really see opportunity. And when we talk about AI, I think people get so focused on certain facets of AI, they neglect some of the core principles and some of the real successes. So for us, we've broken it down as, how do we take all of our benefits information? We have over 3,500 employees, close to 4,000. Wouldn't it be great for them if they were at home or on the job, they didn't have to call anybody, and they could just type in, you know, what are our pet insurance offerings? And it's something that would come back and give them all the different types. Here's the costs. Here's the different plans. Here's the number to call. And something that would just provide comfort and support, especially, again, in medical insurance. And so a lot of employee issues, we see that as a huge area. Obviously, in data analytics, analyzing our streetlight data, what streetlights are on. I mean, there's a lot of streetlights in Las Vegas. You've got a lot of lights in Las Vegas in general. So how could we use some of this technology to help sort of mine the data we have and provide back to us? To me, it's about, how does AI provide efficiency? How does it make a better customer experience? That customer experience could be, hey, my streetlight's out on my street. Hey, you know what? I don't have to call the city. They have an AI engine. It's going to go back through. It's going to look. And it's going to find out my light wasn't on, and they're going to send a crew, and they're going to fix it. Hey, that would be great. I mean, people live, work, and play where they're happy, where there's good schools, there's good there's safety, there's amenities. And so how does technology provide those baselines? And it doesn't matter if it's your job. If your job's not providing fulfillment, you're going to leave. It's not always about money. So it's the same thing with the city. If the city's not providing your basic needs, you're going to leave. My job is to get as many people use technology, help my departments internally leverage technology, but get people to feel welcomed and feel that there's something for them in the community.
Yeah. So one of the things that we touched on earlier too was the use of cameras that you guys have in Vegas. That's one use case, but how are you taking all of these this data that you have? Because I'm sure that it's a ridiculous amount of data that you are getting ingested, and then how do you take that and make it an actionable to have decisions behind that?
So we're really lucky. Las Vegas in general, people are not afraid of cameras. I mean, we're sitting probably tons of cameras on us now, other than your camera here. and so people aren't as adverse to cameras. So we use a lot of computer vision for collecting information. We're really careful about not having personal identifying information. So we generally we use different sensors as well. LIDAR, which is like a radar. So it draws us as stick figures. So not as what we look like. So you can't really identify an individual. But we use that information in a variety of ways. We use it to know how many people are inside our parks. And people are like, why do you care how many people are at our park? Well, there are significant investments that go into parks, playground equipment, maintenance, watering. And if no one's using any of it, wouldn't it be good to know the data behind that and use that data to help make better business decisions? No different than we want to know how many cars go through an intersection. Is there a large backup during the day? How could we use that information? Of course, you know, we sprinkle a little AI in there and start thinking about it, doing automation and doing this on its own over time. But having the data, I think the last 3 to 4 years, we focused on collecting lots of data. And I'll be honest with you, we still haven't tapped. How do you use all that data?
Yeah.
And there's so many tools out there. There's so many different, we walk the expo hall here. There's 100 tools on how to use it, mine it, review it, display it. And so for us right now, it's a matter of, we're starting small. A lot of it's with the low-hanging fruit. And then we're expanding on it. But again, for us, it creates efficiency. If we can have our officers somewhere else other than at a park when there's nothing happening, then let's put them somewhere where the community needs them.
Yeah, so bringing it back to that consumer, the customer experience, there's a lot of visitors that come in here every single year. Do you have the data on that of what, on average, how many people come in who are not part of the community?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different, that's done. There's so many different agencies in this town. It's not just me. There's the private casinos have their own way of tracking. I guarantee they know how many people are coming in and out of the doors.
Yeah.
We have general statistics that we get from the conventioners at convention authority. I know over 21 million people go downtown to Fremont Street, which is just a canopy every year.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people in significant in a year. You think of CES brings almost 350,000 people that are not residents here that are coming from all over the world. So there's a lot of, and there's a lot of good use of that information. I guarantee you one number, and it's published by the Gaming Control Board, is we know how much money comes in and how much money goes out from all the different gaming establishments and the payouts on slots. And of course that's important for business as well as for the industry to know in general. So but that's I think, you know, if we look at data, why does so many casinos now have pools and day clubs? Well, because there was data behind the need for those.
So how has that experience changed from the visitors of, let's say, 5 years ago to the visitors today? How has that consumer experience changed?
I think, well, the whole, everything's changed. So, and we were talking earlier, you know, back when I was coming to Vegas as a kid, my parents were really bringing me here. It was about pirate ships, and Vegas was, there's a Wet n' Wild downtown on the Strip. It was about kids and having fun. While you went and played during the day while your parents went and gambled, kind of type. Then that changed. We went to what happens here, stays here, kind of adult theme. And then we've migrated from clubs to sport events now. So now it's kind of all types of different things. And so I just think it's the evolution of consumer taste. And all that's driven by data. Even gaming's changed. You know, if you notice in the casinos, there's not as many. Used to be a lot of tables when you come in, blackjack. And they're still there, but not as much as when I was coming when I was in my 20s. And so it's just changing. I'm talking about games of chance and other types of games of skill, excuse me, and other types of new ways of energizing the base. Sports betting, huge now. And so all types of trends and opportunities. But again, I think Vegas is really good about understanding those trends. And as a community, we're innovators here. What other city do you know blows up buildings after, you know, 8 or 9 years of use? Just blow them up and start over. Who builds right behind us? The biggest, what is it, $1.5 billion MSG Sphere.
Yeah.
You know, big round sphere. They were testing the TVs on outside today. They were lighting up, which was exciting. Hey, who brings a hockey team to the desert? I mean, Vegas is just that innovative place in America where, and I really wish people would see it for more than just hospitality entertainment. Look at the autonomous driving we have here. One of the first states in the United States to have fully autonomous vehicles driving up and down the streets. You could hail one today. You can go to the Boring Company down to Convention Center and drive underground in a Tesla. Again, you know, you don't see that in every location. So I think it goes to the community here, to the spirit of Nevadans and Las Vegans on the way that they perceive innovation and embrace it.
In a competitive market, does your customer service stand out from the crowd? One way to offer a better experience is by moving your contact center to the cloud. But with so many options to choose from, how do you know which solution is the best for both your business and your customers? That's where VDS comes in and guides you to the best solution. They understand your clients' pain points, business outcomes, and goals. Then VDS designs, implements, supports, and provides 24/7 managed services. From start to finish, VDS is committed to finding the best solutions for your clients' needs. To learn more, go to www.govds.com or find a link in the show notes.
I like how you brought it back to that, the individual of, it's not just about what stays here, what happens here stays here. It's actually, there's a lot more to the city of Vegas. How long have you been in the city of Vegas?
So I've been here, this is my 8th year.
Okay.
So I feel like a local now. But it's been a great experience. I came from California, Southern California, so a big change. I used to go to the beach and surf. You know, there's not a lot of surfing here. but there's a lot of great community, a lot of great people. I really wish people would, you know, see the opportunities here outside of the one street that they visit, or just they go to downtown, visit Fremont Street. They might visit the Strip. But there's so much more to the community from a business perspective, from a perspective of family, from a perspective of service and community. So there's a lot here. And we're starting to see businesses relocate here and call Vegas home. Seen a lot in technology come here. So that's exciting. But it's one of those things that, you know, I people see what they see when they're here, which is a couple blocks.
Yeah.
They really miss the real beauty. The snow's only 45 minutes away. You can go ski at Mount Charleston or go see, you know, beautiful Red Rocks. So a lot here.
So if you were to talk to the world right now and about the city of Vegas, and it's your promo video of the best things to do in Vegas, about living here as a local, what would that be?
Why aren't you here? That would be what I'm saying. Why aren't you here? Why aren't you giving, instead of, you know, if you're in California, I talk to those California residents, you know, as you're migrating out of California, you know, Las Vegas is a great destination. I wish more people would, you know, give it an opportunity and look beyond what they see on a street and really look towards the community, towards the future, and towards the opportunity. Yeah, we have some challenges. Water's going to be a big one, but we're already working on that. And I think if you look back in Vegas's history, it was, well, you know, you have one casino. How many more casinos can you possibly have? If you look at the 80s to where we're at in the 90s to 2010 to 20, you have another almost 7,000 rooms coming online between Resorts World, which is open, and Fontainebleau across the street. Huge growth, and we're full. Look at the, I mean, it's a beautiful convention here today. You're here, and you know, it's a great opportunity here, and there's a lot here, and there's a lot coming that I can't say yet or talk about, but there's just a lot of opportunities here. Forget the tax. Everybody says, well, we don't pay tax here.
Yeah.
You don't, but there's so much more beyond just that.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There is the quick pitch of why you need to go to the city of Vegas, make your way here, and like Michael said, why are you not here yet? So the last question I have for you, when you think about innovation, what are you most excited about in the next year or two?
Wow, that is a great question. There's so many things that are exciting about, you know, obviously we've talked about AI in general and ChatGPT. Those are exciting to see them grow. I'm really excited to see, I'm going to give you three or four items real quickly then. Autonomy from vehicles. I see that continuing to expand and grow, any opportunities behind that. I see drone delivery coming. I see it starting maybe in the next year and a half. I'm really excited about subterranean technology.
Okay.
Working with a company called Pipe Dream, we're actually looking at building a tunnel underground to deliver food and supplies to like apartment buildings. And so your Uber Eats won't be a driver. You'll just go out front of your apartment. You'll open up a little tiny or a larger size bin, and your stuff will be right there.
Wow.
Delivered from the restaurant to your home. So, you know, I think subterranean technology is there. I think AI is there. Obviously, transportation and autonomy with vehicles and drones. I'm also really excited just about display and consumer technology. I think a lot more. The smart home is definitely going to be more. And I'd be remiss without talking about cybersecurity as well. I think that's a growing opportunity, growing field. I'm always interested in the technology to secure digital assets, especially those of the community. And so there's just so many things. I mean, I don't know how to limit it to even those. I could go on, but you know, that would be a good starting point. I guess I'll end it with this. I'm excited as I'm towards the crest of my career. I'm really excited about the new technology, the diversity of men and women and other professionals coming into the field and really making some startling changes and really, you know, coming up with new ideas. It's great to see a refresh every so many years. And I'm really seeing a renaissance of new ideas and basically, you know, taking us forward.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot in a little bit of time. And now I got to go do 20 hours of research about this Pipe Dream and all sorts of stuff getting delivered to my door. But thank you so much, Michael. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
It's a pleasure.
For those who have not had a chance to get out to the city of Columbus, make your way here, see what the innovation that is going on and have fun and see what it takes to stay here. But
if you need suggestions, have your viewers reach out to me. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram.
You
know, more than happy to, you know, point them and give them 8 or 9 ideas.
I love it.
Always happy.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hey, listeners, can you think of one person who would benefit from the information you learned today? If so, please consider sharing this episode with them. And last, if you would like to receive all the quotes and book recommendations from all my guests, you can go to pressonefornick.com/podcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Press One for Nick. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe and share. Until next time, focus on your customers.
Thanks for joining us for this session of CX of M Radio. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show, and visit cxofm.org for more resources.